The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the Gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the Gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
You know, I was looking at a map the other day, map of San Antonio. I was wondering, wow, which highway should I take out of San Antonio? Perhaps I should take I-10, or maybe I-35, or Highway 281, or 37, or Highway 90. Which do you think I should take?
Depends on where you're going.
Oh, it depends on where I want to go. Because, I mean, if I want to go to Houston, I can't take I-10 going west. I mean, I need to take I-10 going east. If I want to go to Dallas, I can't take 37 going towards Corpus Christi. We end up getting where we're going by going the way that we go. You know, I also, the other day, I left the house. Jennifer's in the car with me, and I start driving through the neighborhood. And I turn right onto Thousand Oaks, and she says, "Where are you going?" I said, "I really don't know." I had just left my house on autopilot and was going the way that I usually leave the neighborhood. It just wasn't the way that got us to where we were intending to go. And so what did I have to do?
Turn around.
Well, I had to admit that I was going the wrong way first before trying to turn around. Well, I was also thinking about, you know, Father Ed went this fall to the crafts place that you go to in North Carolina.
Yeah.
The Campbell Folk School. And he made this bow. And if I took that bow and I strung it and I put an arrow in it and I pulled back and I aimed that way, where would the arrow go? It'd go that way.
Maybe.
Jennifer's seen me shoot. If I wanted to go that way, what would I have to do? I'd have to aim a different way. You know, that's what repentance means, is going a different way. Jesus comes preaching the kingdom of God and saying, repent. Change the way that you are going. So the nation of Israel, under captivity of Rome, is expecting a Messiah who will reestablish a temporal Israel, a king sitting on a literal throne in Israel in the line of David. That's their expectation. Jesus doesn't come preaching the kingdom of David. Jesus comes preaching the kingdom of God. All of Israel has to change the way that they're thinking. They have to change their goal, their destination. No longer are they seeking a kingdom, a Jewish kingdom. What God has is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of all of us. And so Israel, who Jesus is preaching to here, has to change the direction that they think they're going. You know, and this has to be a compelling cause. Think about James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They're there in the family business, doing fairly well. Their father owns boats, and has hired servants, they're pretty well off. They're set. They have an inheritance with a livelihood that will continue. People will always have to eat. And the fish in the Sea of Galilee aren't going away. They have a livelihood. And Jesus says, stop what you're doing and follow me. And they leave their nets and their boats and their father and the hired hands, and they follow Jesus. So there is this compelling vision that they see. Jesus comes preaching that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. So what is this kingdom of God? What is so compelling is to leave a good livelihood to follow Jesus. Perhaps it's the vision of the kingdom that Jesus preaches in the synagogue at Nazareth, where he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Perhaps it's the kingdom that Jesus describes when the disciples of John come and ask, are you the one that we seek? Jesus says, go, tell him what you see and what you hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. Perhaps it's that vision of the kingdom that John the seer sees on the island of Patmos. I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all the tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. What vision of the kingdom of God compels you? Compels you to change the way that you are going and seek the kingdom of God, not the success of man. You know, I remember learning to drive. And, you know, when you first learn to drive on the road and you're looking like 2 feet in front of the hood ornament and you're going all around like this trying to keep in a line. My dad said, look to the end of the road and steer there. And when you look to the end of the road, it all kind of smooths out. We all learn that as we drive. Hopefully we all learn that as we drive. I think sometimes Jennifer wonders when we're on the highway. But that long view, so that long view of the kingdom, what vision of the kingdom smooths out the little bumps in your life? You know, we have a new liturgy that was approved last week by the College of Bishops, and we're using that today. So there will be some things that are a little different. But one of the changes that I really like in this is that once again, we, in the middle of the prayer of consecration, we all together rehearse the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. And that's the long view that we steer towards. For me, the long view of the week is the Eucharist. That's what pushes me forward. That's what draws me towards that long view of the week, to come and experience the kingdom of God breaking into our daily lives in the Eucharist. You know, last week we talked about the call of Nathanael, and Jesus said, and you will see the heavens opened and angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. A beautiful devotional view, a beautiful view of an inward grace. An experience that Nathanael has of seeing the kingdom of God. And this week, we have Jesus coming to Simon and to Andrew and prophetically saying, follow me, and I will make you into fishers of men. You will become fishers of men. That inward grace of experiencing the kingdom of God is transferred into an outward grace of sharing that kingdom with others. You know, what happens when you go to a really great restaurant? You tell everybody about it. You say, I went to this restaurant. The food was so fantastic. The wine was perfectly paired. The wait staff was amazing. When was the last time you were that excited about your prayer life? So excited that you told someone else about your prayer life.
Every Sunday.
All right, there we go. You know, we talked on Tuesday night about the woman at the well who encounters Christ, and she goes and she tells everybody in the town, you got to meet this guy. He told me everything about myself. Oh, that we were that excited about the kingdom of God. So I ask you, where are you going? Who are you serving? And who will you tell? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.